Father, we, Lord, this morning we desire to know more of you. And Lord, as we surrender to you, Lord, we want to yield to your lordship. And Lord, we desire that you would rule and reign in our lives. And Father, as we read your scriptures together aloud today, Father, let it minister to us and draw us closer to you. And Lord, that we be doers of your word by applying your word to our lives. And Father, as we need to share about if there's foxes in our lives, Father, that are taking away things that are hindering us to grow in you, Lord, I pray that you expose those things. Lord, that we was whatever it is, Lord, that we would be obedient to you, and Lord, that we would develop in you. Because we know that our flesh doesn't want to grow with you. And we know Satan doesn't want us to grow with you. So, Lord, help us to renew our minds. Help us, Lord, as we've been worshiping this morning, Lord, that what's been sung, Father, would resonate in our hearts. And, Lord, that we would praise you through the rest of the day. And Father, the scriptures that we're going to read, I pray that they resonate in our hearts as well. And Lord, that we would meditate on this week. And, Lord, that you would transform our lives to be who you desire us to be, to walk in freedom, to be, have the yoke of burdens and heaviness be broken off of us. Lord, we desire that to have joy and peace in you that's only found in you. So Lord, have your way here today, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, what I was doing, when I was doing the fast, I think it was day three or something, maybe day two, there's been scripture that really been, he doesn't have a scripture. Oh, I'll pick on Mark. I want us to be able to, as we read the scriptures, I pray that we be attentive, maybe not look through our Bible trying to find every scripture, because I do have on the board, and if John's going to run it, but just listen to what's being said. Allow what the Word of God is saying to minister to you. Because there's one scripture which in there is like talk about sin. Because how many, as believers, we do still sin. And I was thinking, well, when I think about the matzah, there's no yeast in it. In Christ, there's no yeast. No sin. And you read scripture and it says, a little yeast, you know, I don't know who bakes, I don't bake, but we need bread, you put a little bit of yeast and you work the yeast into the dough. And what does that happen? What happens with that? It rises and the yeast spreads within the bread, the dough. And so I was thinking about that scripture. And it's just like, if we have sin that we are dabbling with and we don't want to let go of it, it works through our whole body. And if we want to be, because we're going to read it, and it says we want to become like Christ, who was no sin, who knew no sin, and he was our sacrifice to deliver us from sin. And I know we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we meet Christ in the air. However, are we dying to self? Right? Hopefully, if you're not fasting, hopefully that you're reading the devotions every single day. Because I think there's fruit in the devotions. Listening to what the Lord is sharing to you in writing it down. I think if we allow the Lord to settle our hearts and our minds, and we, you know, when you pray, how many of us think we need to pray for the whole time? Because that's not prayer. Prayer is like, Lord, I'm going to petition, I'm going to pray for this person, and I'm going to then pause and listen to your voice. And so it might be silence for like 5, 10, 15 minutes. You might not hear anything. Still prayer. You're saying, Lord, I want to align to what your word is saying. I want to align myself to what, I want to hear you, Lord. I don't need to keep on talking, because that's just a one-way conversation. Prayer is a two-way conversation. God wants to pour into us. He wants his children to hear his voice. So sometimes we get, when I ask, how have you been praying? Meditating on God's word, listening to what God's word is. That's what prayer is, listening. Putting our petitions out, praying for people, interceding for people. And so, is my prayer life growing? You can believe stats, but I don't want to believe stats because I think God's bigger than that. I pray that during this time of fasting, that our prayer life would change, that we would be more attentive to what the voice of God is saying to us, and that we would respond to him and say, Lord, yes, here I am. Lord, I want to be used by you, and I desire to be used by you. So Galatians 5:1, I'm going to turn to that one first. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free. If you're a child of God, Christ has made you free. Why do I say that? Because that's what the Word of God says. So don't argue. Don't come up against me. Don't say, well, I'm not free because I feel like I'm in bondage. But Christ, if you are a child of God, he has set you free from the power of sin. He has reconciled you to the Father. He's breaking chains and bondages off of us. It's an ongoing process. But he set us free so that we don't have to allow sin to rule and reign in our lives. Sometimes we allow what people have said about us to dictate who we think we are. Right? Sometimes we allow what people say about us to dictate how we think about ourselves, how we act, how we respond. But is that the truth? And as we read scripture, people sometimes speak words that are not true. And our past before Christ, don't live in your past. Don't let your past dictate who Christ says you are now. That's important. Don't allow who you were once. We're adulterers, fornicators, adulterers. All this list of in Galatians 5. We're that one time. So are you still going to say I'm that person today? Or I'm going to say that I'm a child of God today, who God has set me free from that. And I have a choice if I'm going to live in that way still, or say, no, Lord, I want to surrender that to you today. Lord, I don't want to live in these lies any longer. I want to live in your truth. There's a choice. Are we yielding to what the Lord says? And I think as we read scriptures to one another today, we're listening as we take communion. We're going to be listening how he is a sin offering. and by the power of his blood he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And I think it's good to hear it from some other voices, so it would resonate in our hearts. And as we read it, I would encourage us to stand up from your seat and read it standing up, because you're declaring God's word. There's power in God's word. Don't allow Satan to put you down any longer. Sorry, I got off track. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us. It's not a liberty to sin. He set us free from that. So we don't have the liberty to sin any longer. By which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again. Do not be entangled from what God has set you free from. Like, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul has given us two aspects here. Either you are free or you're enslaved. Freedom is a gift of God, which Jesus gives us, and we receive by faith. Humanity is in slavery of sin. Everybody who's not in Christ is enslaved to sin. But sin doesn't have to have a rule over our lives as believers. And Christ died for us, and to be our atoning sacrifice for us to have freedom from sin and death. This freedom in Christ comes to us by repenting of our sin, receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, putting our faith, trust, and reliance onto the Lord Jesus. I was thinking of John 1:12, and then we'll start reading scriptures. But as many has received him, so if you have received Jesus, to them he has gave the right to become children of God. So if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been given the right from Jesus to be called a child of God. Who you are. You're a child of God. You're no longer a sinner. You've been saved from sin. A sinner is somebody that continues to walk away from God or rebel against God. He's not saved. A child of God, our children do sin against us, don't they? Do our kids not rebel once in a while? Yes, they do. Are they still our children? Why is that? Because they're born from you. And now we're a child of God. We do sin. But he says, confess your sins unto me. Repent. And I will forgive you. That's what a father does. When your child messes up, do we disown them? No. We draw them back. Say, come here. Let's talk. Why? What happened? And the kid repents. Just like us. It doesn't give us a liberty to just go out sinning. But we say, Lord, Father, forgive me. Help me. One who receives Jesus, one in Christ is free. That we have been set free from the bondage of sin. So who has Ephesians 2, verse 3 to 5? That's a good scripture. Who has Ephesians 4, 20 to 24? Something that we need to do. We are created, when you become a child of God, you're created with a new purpose. You're renewed in purpose. You're not renewed what your flesh wants. You're renewed what your spirit, the new inner man, the new man in you wants to do. And that's to serve and follow the Lord Jesus. We put off our old natures, the things that want to have nothing to do with God. There's that battle. There is a battle. The old nature and the new nature. The new nature wants to serve God, follow God, adhere to God. The old nature wants nothing to do with God. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, transforms our lives to live in accordance with this Holy Spirit. Thing is, we have a choice. To yield or not to yield. There's always a choice. Romans 5, 6 to 9. I don't know who has that. Who has Romans 6, 17 to 18? Servants of righteousness. To be free from sin means in that those who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, their lives are no longer enslaved by sin. We have the power through the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life over sin. They give Romans 6, 22 to anybody? Just like we were once follower of fresh or fleshy desires, those who are in Christ now in Christ now follow the Holy Spirit. We don't follow our flesh. Now, as children of God, we follow the Holy Spirit. And we desire to live a godly life as the Holy Spirit convicts, leads, and transforms our life. Who has Romans 8, 14? So are you led by the Spirit? Who has Galatians 5, 24, 26? because we live in a fallen world, we are still fleshy creatures. And we will still sin. Who has John 1, 8 to 10? Did I get that to anybody? 1 John? Romans 7, verse 15 to 20. Also, Paul struggled. Like all of us, we struggle. And I like what, you know, when we don't become conceited. When we see people who have fallen, we don't become conceited. Say, well, look at them. What kind of believers are they? But we come alongside them and pray with them to encourage them back, to help them to walk away from their sin. Not to have judgments, because all of us do have sin issues. If you want to be truthful, we all have sinful nature still. And that nature will not be eradicated until the day we meet Christ in the air. Then we get a new holy righteous body without sin. Until that time, we can still confess our sins, repent, and our relationship with the Lord. It's not a salvation issue we're talking about, but it's a relationship with Him, being right with Him. The inner man doesn't sin. That's the positive. When we become a child of God, you've got a new nature, and that man doesn't sin. It's your flesh that sins. Does that make sense? Because what God has deposited in you, became a child of God, He's given you His holiness and righteousness. Right? If God is holy and righteous, Jesus is holy and righteous, that the new man in you doesn't sin. It's the old man that sins. And that's what Paul's talking about. It's the flesh. It's the carnal nature. What's a sin? What wants to rebel against God? And so we have to, that's why it says we've got to put off the old nature and put on the new nature and to renew our minds. It talks about we need to renew our minds daily so our minds be transformed and renewed so we come into alignment with God. That our relationship with Him, straight the vertical, is perfect. That's, I think this is when we start reading more and more scripture and putting them together, you start seeing bigger picture. It's like, man, I really want to follow God. But I don't want things to get in my, that are in my life, to get in between my relationship with the Heavenly Father. I want to have a clear conscience. I want to have joy. I want to be able to go to Him and talk to Him and listen to Him. Those who have been born again, so John 3:3. We have received a new nature. We have to be born again. Whereas the old nature drew us towards self-pleasure. That's what the old nature does. Self-pleasure. The new nature tugs us towards holiness. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Can you give that to anybody? Who we are. To be free from sin means it no longer wields its power it once did over your life. As your relationship matures in Christ, I realize how much more I need Jesus every day. And I just realize without him, my life would not be the way it is now. You know, the old nature had a stranglehold on us before of being selfish, greedy, lust, but now that has been broken. That's how we once were. We're very selfish people, greedy people, self-absorbed people. It's always for us. Right? That's how we once were. And he gives us the new nature. Humbleness, meekness, compassionate, want to serve others, want for others before ourselves. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Compassionate. He stirs that in us. He gives us that. But sometimes the old selfish ways do rise up. And when we recognize that, forgive me, Lord, for being selfish. Forgive me for being conceited. Because those things are broken. But there's residue, right? Freedom from sin allows us to offer ourselves as willing slaves to their Lord Jesus Christ. We become his bond servants. And a bond servant is somebody who was a slave, then purchased. Because in Jewish tradition, after the seventh year, if you had to buy old money to whoever, and I said, I'll become your slave to pay off my debt. And after that time, he said, okay, your debt's paid for, you're free to go. Or you had a choice to become their bondservant. Christ paid our debt. And we said, yes, Lord, I want to be your bondservant. Because what you offer and what you give is far better than what I can have on my own. You give me security, you give me hope, joy, financial stuff that I have. You give me all this, and I know without you, I cannot have anything. So a bondservant to Christ is the things that I surrendered my life to him. He offers a better thing than anything else in this world. Do we have Romans 8:29? So he conforms us. What about Philippians 2:13? Philippians 1:6. He's doing a good work in you. We don't always see that. Our spouses sometimes don't see that either. They're looking through a different lens. We're all a work in progress. Good thing my wife's not here today. She might give me a stink eye. I heard somebody agree with that. Oh my goodness. So I want to turn to 1 John 1:3. John chapter 1 verse 3 to 10. That which we have heard, but what we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And with these things we write to you, your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross is more than a symbol. It's a divine promise. It's a new covenant. It's a life-changing reality. It's the embodiment of God's love, grace, and mercy. Because we have read, by God's mercy that you are saved. By His grace that you're saved. It's His being merciful. He means through that we are cleansed. Through His blood we are cleansed. We are redeemed and we're made whole. It's a blessing that brings us into the fellowship of the Father, that connects us to the divine life that is in Christ Jesus. This blessing is not something we earn. That's key. Something that we do not earn. You do not earn salvation. You don't earn a better position. It's by submitting, humbling ourselves. It's by placing our faith and trust in Christ alone. That's how you become a child of God. So we never earned it. Never earn it or deserve it. So you can't just go out and do all the good things you think you should do to outweigh your bad things. That will never work. You're still in your sin. It's a gift. Sometimes, how many of us hate, is it easy for us to receive a gift? Have you ever received a large gift? You know, I've received some big gifts lately, and it's really humbling. It's like, I'm thinking, I don't deserve this. Right? It's when you receive something huge, it's very humbling. And something that you cannot repay. It's a gift freely given by God out of his boundless love for us. It's a gift that we receive by faith, by believing in the power of the blood of Christ. It's a gift that transforms us, that makes us new creations, that has given us a new identity in Christ. We have new identities. Our past, we all have a past before Christ. Hopefully we don't choose that past to dictate who we are now. I don't know why I can't. That'd be my thing. Don't let the past dictate who you are. You're a child of God. Get right with God. Repent. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Set you free from the bondage and yoke of heaviness. It's a blessing that brings forgiveness. Through his blood, our sins are washed away. It's not that God forgets it. God doesn't forget. He chooses to let it go. He chooses to say, I'm not going to remember this any longer. Once you confess something, he doesn't hoard it over your head. So you need to do some dances or whatever. He says, I choose not to remember whatever that sin you ask for forgiveness for. He chooses not to remember it any longer. So that's why in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? That's why in Romans 8:1 it says that. Jesus, God, our Heavenly Father, does not condemn his kids. If we confess our sins, he says there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Satan condemns. Satan says, oh, look, you couldn't do it. Of course he couldn't do it, because I would follow my flesh. The Word of God says he always gives us a way out. When we are tempted, he always gives us a way out. And are we choosing to go the way out? Or we say, oh, I could handle it for another 5 seconds to do what I'm doing. Or this one little thing won't hurt me. But he always gives us a way out. He washes away our sin when we confess it and repent of it. Our guilt is removed. Our shame is removed. Guilt and shame are huge. Like, Lord, I know the shame and guilt is not from you. I know you convict. There's a difference. The Lord, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He points it out, says, son, you need to deal with this. Or daughter, you need to deal with this. The devil condemns. He does all the things that make you feel, puts shame on you and all that. That's from Satan. You have to know which voice you're listening to. So we're no longer defined by our shame, our past mistakes, or our sin, our failures, our shortcomings. We're defined by the grace of God, by the love of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're defined by the blood of Christ, by the forgiveness it brings, by the freedom it offers. As we take when we take communion today, there's a lot been said, but we're reminded that we've been cleansed, washed. It's a blessing that brings healing through his blood. Our wounds are healed. Our hurts are soothed. You know, it's only the Holy Spirit could actually go to the very core of our inner being to heal those hurts and wounds. It's like, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would heal those wounds. That those wounds will not bring up these past memories. Our brokenness is mended. so we're no longer victims of our circumstances, nor prisoners of our pain, slaves of our suffering. We're victors in Christ, overcomers in Him, conquerors through Him. We are healed by the blood of Jesus, by the healing it brings, by the wholeness it restores. It's a blessing that brings reconciliation. Through His blood, our relationship with God is restored. Our fellowship with Him is renewed. Our intimacy with Him is deepened. We are no longer enemies of God. We're no longer strangers to His love, nor aliens to His kingdom. We are God. We are children of God, heirs of His promise, an ambassador, citizens of His kingdom. We have been reconciled by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1. Who wants to read Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14? As a child of God, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that comforting? It's like, well, 100% righteousness, 100% pure, because of what Christ has done on the cross. He has redeemed us, saved us. He's given His holiness, righteousness. It's not ours, it's His. But when Jesus intercedes for us day in and day night before the Father, presenting us holy and blameless before the Father. Jude 24. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Sometimes we don't feel faultless. But the Word says, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior. Jesus stands in front of us. And the Father sees Jesus. Sanctification is an ongoing process in the believer's life. He deals with us in a loving, caring way. So let's not be conceited. But be encouraged to pray for one another during the fast. Pray for one another and encourage one another and meet with one another and share what the Lord is doing. It's just even in the last week what the Lord's been sharing with me in the fast and how He's been working. It's been great. Finish with Ephesians 1:17-19. I love this one. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's my prayer for myself, because you can put yourself in that. That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give whoever you want to put in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of souls, whoever, of understanding, being enlightened, that you, that person may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints? And what is the great exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? The Holy Spirit is working in our lives, even at times when we don't know. As we take communion today, just remember the body of Christ has no sin. And as we take it, we remember his stripes. And the holes in there is just piercing. Paid the penalty. He's our atoning sacrifice. We have redemption because of Jesus. As he died in our place, he paid the penalty that we can never pay. When we take the cup, we're remembering precious blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When we confess, he cleanses us. He redeems us. And by taking this cup, you're also confessing that you're a child of God. This is a cup that says, you know what? When we take this cup, we remind ourselves that the Lord is here with us. And he's handing the cup to you. So if we drink from this cup today, we'll be married. We become his. And we do this until the day he comes and we get caught up. He takes us home forever. Well, we'll come back a bit for, you know. He takes us home for a bit. And we'll be with our husband. Because we are his bride. We've been purchased, bought for him. And so as we take this elements that are representative of Christ and what he's done and accomplished, say, Lord, whatever you're speaking to me about this morning, Lord, I repent. I confess whatever it is you're speaking of to me about. And Lord, I know that you are going to enable me to do whatever it is that you want me to do for you. And Lord, I'm going to put my faith and hope and trust in you to be led by your Holy Spirit that lives and seals me, showing that I'm your child, that I belong to you, that I'm no longer an orphan, but I have been adopted into your family, so you can never disown me. And so as we take this, let it be a time between you and the Lord. So, I don't know who wants to volunteer. Does anybody want to volunteer to lift at four people who want to take and hand out and do? And thank you.
all the lyrics aren't up on the PowerPoint for this song, but this song actually speaks of the moment when Jesus' death and resurrection took place. If you know the words, please sing it. If you don't, that's totally okay. Just think about the blessing we have because of the sacrifice he made. A moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory, the King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. Final breath, and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roar? All hail, King Jesus! All hail, King Jesus! We sing. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world. There was a moment when the sky lit up, a flash of light breaking through. When all was lost, he crossed eternity. The King of Life was on the move, Jesus. There was that moment when the sky lit up, a flash of light breaking. When all was lost, he crossed eternity. The King of Life is on the move. We're in a dark, cold tomb where our Lord was laid. One miraculous breath, and we're forever changed.